Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo.
You okay?
Yes. I just saw that Paul Bearer was trending. I was like, oh no.
Ooh, yes.
What's he trending for? And then I said, trending with Mike Lindell. I was like, oh God. Have you seen the pictures of the MyPillow guy? He looks like Paul in the pictures. The whole time I was like, who does he look like? He looks like somebody. And then now that I see it's Paul Bearer, I'm like, oh, yes. It's him. Yes, I agree.
My president.
My precious MyPillow. Anyway. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru.
Going on with that guy?
I mean,
why are his eyes like that?
He's not sleeping. He's trying to get that evidence that the election was stolen.
Well, obviously, the pillow doesn't work.
Pillow's not helping. He's not sleeping. That's the worst possible advertisement if you're a pillow salesman. You look like you haven't slept in weeks. Never trust a skinny chef. Never trust a pillow salesman who looks like he hasn't slept in a month.
That's true. I really do not. I do not get involved in politics whatsoever. I don't know. Like, I do understand that this guy is a Trump guy or whatever. Yeah. And like,
millions apparently trying to do
that. Yeah. I just kind of watch this stuff from afar. And I'm one of those people, like, I can find fault in both sides. I don't really sit with either side. And it's so strange to me that the MyPillow man is involved in, like, the election or something in some form or fashion. It's just insane to me.
That list. One thing I do want to bring up, though, Robbie, is that it would be a little weird if Brupolo was in Mashulaville.
Oh, yes. I know exactly where that is.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state.
Get it right, too. Have you ever mentioned Sugarlock, though?
Sugarlock was like one of the early ones. That was an early, early one. Wherever you are in
those
our
two kind of coincide.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Well, they're all, all that Knoxby area there. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. It's right there. Just order it, delivered right to your door. And when you do, you support the Bulldog Initiative. The same way you do when you call our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Sounds good on paper. No pun intended. The truth of the matter is this. If you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. You do it every month. It's part of your budget the same way rent and paying the power and paying your employees is. This is a way for you to not spend any more money, but become a Bulldog Initiative business and support the Bulldog Initiative every month with Pip Printing and Signs. Just tell them you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning when you call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216. I did it. No.
Yes. The time has come.
Heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. Want to do business with you. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That is a great deal that you cannot pass up. And of course, you're getting all of the great stuff that Pip Printing has to offer. Look at this thing here. I know you guys can't see it at home, but Robbie, look at all this stuff they list here. Signs, printing, direct mail, mailing services, online ordering portals, marketing services, wall graphics, copying. Every door, direct mail. It's just everything. Everything a business needs to grow, Pip Printing and Signs offers it to you. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. You need to get new gear. You need to bring the State Script, the interlocking, the M over wrist into your wardrobe. Do it with a trip to College Corner. We are, I know we're only 10 days from Mother's Day as we sit here right now, and that's a very important holiday, but that means we're only about 40 days away from Father's Day, which is a more important holiday, I think we would all agree. So, time to get Dad a new polo, make it happen at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to find the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. If you want to eat, great, you need to go to Restaurant Tyler. For lunch, it's just the best one in town. If you're a blue plate guy like I am, the best one in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meats, vegetables, the only cornbread on earth I like to eat. And if you want, and one thing I like about Restaurant Tyler is, you know, they have catfish, right? And some most places, they just have fried catfish, not Restaurant Tyler. They have fried catfish, they have blackened catfish, and they have grilled catfish. So, I mean, you have options. So if you're somebody like me, trying to lose a few pounds and you still want to enjoy catfish, you can get it blackened and it's a little healthier for you. And then of course you eat macaroni and cheese and cheese grits with it. And you know, but it balances out. It's all about probably it's all about that balance. It's all about that balance. So,
and you know, every single one of those pieces of catfish are good.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
Yeah. Anyone who would say that catfish isn't good. Goodness. What am I supposed to think of them? Enjoy a great meal the next time you are in Starkville at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com. Find the location near you. Open an account today that's going to benefit you and your family for a long, long time. With a simple trip to this bank, you can change the way you bank, the way your money is managed with Priority One Bank. You get all of the great services that a big corporate bank offers you, but you get that hometown feel, that small town feel, that service that you expect when you're dealing with a community bank. If you want to talk to somebody about your money, you want to be them to be on the other end of that phone. You don't want them to be in a call center, having to talk to a representative, and they move you up the line. You don't want that. You don't get that with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Sorry for the long ad read there, but we got off the trail with Mike Lindell / Paul Bearer. Happening.
Well, that guy who says his name is GWWKKJDDDSS12 or whatever.
He'll be mad, yeah.
Continues to give the same exact comment on our ratings.
But
he gives us a 5-star review.
5-star. That's the deal. He can say whatever he wants.
That's true.
It's true. All right. Big weekend for Mississippi State baseball. Robbie, didn't get your thoughts from the Governor's Cup game, but obviously State getting the 5-1 win there. Kind of that one really felt more like Ole Miss lost than State won. I would say that. I mean, it was just a very typical Ole Miss game. They come out early, they look like they're playing well, and then they just fall apart.
Yeah, and give credit to State too. I mean, when Connor Hijack, I think that changed the whole game when Connor Hijack went from first to third mm-hmm. on the pass ball. You're putting pressure on Ole Miss to make a play. And had he been thrown out, everybody would have been pissed. Everybody would have been pissed. But this is a team that constantly falls apart in those situations. I love the aggressiveness right there to make them make a play. And they couldn't make the play. Ground ball, couldn't make the double play. He scores a run on that play, and Logan Kohler was able to get on first base to keep the inning alive. You know, those two plays right there won the game, and then State with some really good at-bats the rest of the way. So, yeah, I think Ole Miss did play a major part in that and just kind of falling apart, but State went and took the game from them too. And this is something that they've done now for the last 2 weeks. They've just found ways to win late in ball games or – maybe not even just win, but finish the game or extend the lead or do whatever it takes to make sure that the other team doesn't come back in a ball game. When you got 5-1 right there, you feel really good about Tyson Harden coming in, throwing strikes, and not giving up a 4 spot or something that inning. So they took the game from them, kind of took their will away from them, and they did that they've done that in several games this year, especially in the last 2 weeks. And I think that's the transformation of this team. We continue to talk about where this team is, and you have one side of the fan base that's going to say this team really screwed themselves by not winning those other games. My counterpoint to that and playing devil's advocate is I think this team has learned how to win because they didn't know how to win the last 2 years. There's nobody on this roster outside of Stone Simmons that was on the national championship team. Everybody on this roster either transferred into Mississippi State or just came to Mississippi State the last 2 years. And so none of these people really know how to win ball games in this league. And they found a way to do that. This team has consistently gotten better. That's a team that, in my opinion, is well coached. If you're consistently getting better as the year goes on, I think Chris Simonis has done a good job. If we're going to give him credit for the demise of Mississippi State the last 2 years, you got to give him credit for getting this train back on the tracks. And it's readily apparent, and we talked about we're going to find out if it's true or not. It's very apparent that the pitching coach was a huge problem for Mississippi State because this one has changed the game for the Bulldogs in a major way. Justin Parker has been absolutely incredible to turn this team around the way that he has. And State is in position unbelievably, despite the 6 or 7 non-conference losses that they had, despite the games they gave away in SEC play, they are holding their own destiny in their hands with 3 weekends to go to host a regional. And if you get to that 17-18 mark in SEC play, then you start talking about, hey, can you push for a national seed? That's where this team is right now. 8 out of their last 9 games are wins. Just continue to win, and this team's going to be exactly where Mississippi State fans want to be every single June.
So Mississippi State moving up to 20. Interesting day on the RPI front. State moved up to 26 before they even played the game. After the game, they move up to 24. Now 30-15. I think one of the big things from that win is they're now 8-8 in quad one games. So back to 500 there. 8 quad one wins is very good. Nebraska. I was just looking at the thing here. Alabama is 15th in the RPI as we sit here right this second. So when just winning the series, you think, would put State into the top 20. If they could somehow sweep, they might jump into the top 15. And they would be 15-9 in the conference, which just seems impossible to believe. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. Correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie, but wasn't the 2016 team that won the SEC championship coming into the final 3 weeks, they were 11-10. Am I right? And then they finished out, they won their last 9 games.
Yes, they swept Auburn, Missouri, is that right? And Arkansas.
Yeah.
And should have swept Alabama.
Yeah. So,
they were 9-9. This team is
a game. Yeah. This team is a game ahead of where that team was. I'm not telling you that this team's about to sweep out and win the SEC championship, but
it would be nice if they didn't have Arkansas on there.
Yeah, if you'd already played Arkansas, I mean, obviously, instead of being 12-9, you'd probably be 10-11. But if you were playing Auburn in a couple, or who's somebody they played on, Florida, this would be a much better time to be playing Florida. You would feel really good about State's chances in that series at this point. But State has a chance to be they should be a top 20 team come Monday morning when they play, when the new polls come out. When the new RPI is all done at that point, if they can get this series win, which they haven't lost a series at home this year. That's part of the big reason State's in the position they're in is they have done exactly what they needed to do basically every week, right?
You get except LSU for non-conference.
Home. Yeah, outside of the non-conference. Once they got into conference play, LSU was at home, you won that series. A&M and Florida on the road. I know you look at Florida now and you think opportunities got away, but just didn't get swept. Didn't get swept in either one of those series. Come back against Georgia, win the series. Ole Miss, again, I know you feel like your opportunities got away, and they did, but you didn't get swept on the road. You get one home series you want to sweep, you got it with Auburn, and now it's just going to be a case of do the same. Win the home series, and don't get swept at Arkansas, and everything's going to work out. It should work out just fine for Mississippi State in terms of that. One other thing to consider is talking to baseball people like Kendall Rogers and Teddy Cahill, they look at that game last night as a conference game. As far as they're concerned, whatever State's number is at the end of the year, give them another conference win.
It should be, in my opinion.
It's a neutral site game. It helps you even more.
Yeah. Yeah, and another thing, well, you were talking about State at home. Alabama's not been good on the road. They were good last weekend against Ole Miss, but other than Mississippi State, I mean, everybody's been good against Ole Miss lately. But they are 2-7, I think, on the road in SEC play. They got swept by Georgia. They got swept by Kentucky. So this has been a different team on the road. So this is a huge weekend for Mississippi State. And I'm not at the point where I think State needs to sweep. But again, every single win matters for Mississippi State moving forward.
Yeah.
And you're basically, to me, the first order of business is lock up postseason. Mississippi State needs to win two more SEC games and really maybe even they're at 12 right now, I guess. So they need to get to 14. So they need to win two more SEC games. I think if they get to 14, they're in. But that's the first order of business for me. Lock up postseason, and then you start moving towards everything else, which I think they're going to postseason. This is going to have to be an epic collapse. But get two more wins, win this series, and then it's on to Arkansas, and you just find a way to win one at that point. But that's kind of where things are right now for Mississippi State, is you have to take it game by game. That's why I thought last night was so big. And Chris Simonis obviously did too. He's not bringing in Tyler Davis in the seventh inning, whenever it was, and then Tyson Harden, if he didn't believe that game was very big for them and their postseason chances. Every win right now matters for Mississippi State. And you're getting down the last three weeks, and Mississippi State has put itself in position, and you got to give them credit to get to where they want to be, but now they just got to finish. I like the way that this team has fought this year, that they've battled through a lot of adversity because they've had a lot of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And they've found ways now to win ball games, and they're looking like a really good team right now. This team, to me, looks like a much better team than 2018. Team like that.
Absolutely.
Like, this is a much more talented team. This looks like a Mississippi State team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can talk about the bullpen or whatever. This team has three pieces really in the bullpen that you feel good to really good about. You've had two great starters, and now you could have a potentially third really good starter. State has what it needs from a pitching perspective.
And these past two games, the Sunday game at Vanderbilt and last night's game with Ole Miss, Carson Ligon has come in and given you an inning. I mean, that's all you need. If you can get if that's a guy that you can put out there and get, I can get a scoreless inning out of Carson Ligon, that is a big deal for Mississippi State. And then you mentioned Davis and Harden. They threw a combined 29 pitches. So you know you're going to see both of them again this weekend. I'm not saying that Parker's going to overwork guys or anything like that, but, you know, under Foxhall, they were just so adamant about not overthrowing guys. And look, it worked out. They won the national title. But I don't think that's going to – I think Parker kind of knows, like, I don't have that same depth that he had. And so, David, my guess is you won't see them both in the same game if it's totally avoidable. But Davis on Friday and Harden on Saturday is probably something you're going to see this weekend.
Yeah, and like you said, they aren't overusing guys. Like, they might throw guys multiple times in the weekend, but it's like Tyler Davis threw 25 pitches or whatever it was against Auburn on Friday. We didn't see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And – They didn't overuse him on – I thought it was a really good idea by them on Wednesday. They threw Tyler Davis for an inning in the third. In the ninth inning, they brought out Tyson Harden, and he threw like 17 pitches. So these guys are not coming in there and just throwing a lot of innings or throwing a lot of pitches. They might have – their appearances might be going up, but you're just not seeing a ton of overuse for these guys. They should be ready to roll in postseason. And – one point that I want to continue to make as far as pitching is concerned, I know that people, Mississippi State fans, focus on Mississippi State a lot, which is what a regular fan does. You're going to know more about your team than any other team, and you're going to focus on what's going on in your bubble. But this conference, in particular the country is not pitching heavy right now. Everybody seems to have their soft spots in the bullpen or their struggles on one or two days on the weekend. Mississippi State is not sitting here and you're looking at like the bullpen and saying, who are we going to bring in? We can't, how are we going to win on a weekend when we only have two guys in the bullpen, whatever. Everybody's kind of in the same boat as far as pitching is concerned. There's a handful of teams that are really deep, that have elite pitching, things of that regard. And when you start breaking down the numbers, Mississippi State is top five in most of these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have pieces in the bullpen. They have, to me, they have the pieces, and even without a Nate Dome or somewhere like that, they have the pieces to make a run in the postseason. It all, to me, boils down to, will this offense be hot 1-9 at the right time? Is this going to be a tough lineup to get through? Because that's what you have to be to win in the postseason, along with the fact that you have to get really good outings from the pitchers. You got to be able to be a tough out at the plate, to run up a pitch count, to get on base, and to deliver in clutch situations. And I think you're starting to see all those pieces come together. Mississippi State just has to be able to do that routinely.
And they've been doing it these past few weeks for sure. And I you know, Bryce Chance, he only had one hit last night. That snapped a 16 straight at bat, I think, without a hit streak, a hitless streak. But I feel like as a guy you can rely on, I think the way they've shifted around the lineup, I'm still not a big Amani Larry guy. He hasn't been hitting the ball well. And it really, that's one area if you wanted to point to a negative. State's inability 40 games into the season, 45 games into the season, to not just have a reliable DH that you feel like he can hit 260, that's an issue. But
yeah, they're not very deep when it comes to hitting.
Right.
But that's the thing. Like,
Go ahead.
We've talked about the pitching, and I feel like we've put so much emphasis on the pitching and like how it had to be fixed and all that stuff. And it's been really good this year. When you look at the numbers, they bear it out. Consistently has been good.
Mm-hmm.
What's consistently been inconsistent is the offense. Look where they rank across the board nationally. The offense hasn't been good. It just hasn't. It's time to have that conversation. Mississippi State has not been good on the offensive side of the ball. They've started to become more clutch. But even last night, you score one run in the first seven innings.
Yeah, they spent all the other
against a pitching staff that has been awful.
Yeah.
So that's got to be better. You got to be better there at the plate. Defensively and pitching, I don't know how many concerns you can have there. That they're getting all the squeeze out of the lemon at this point.
But from a hitting perspective, Hunter Hines appears to be heating up a little bit. He had an RBI single last night. Of course, had the big weekend. And Dakota Jordan was 3-for-5 last night. And I felt, just watching him at the plate, he wasn't up there swinging for the fences every time out. He wasn't, you know, overdoing it. I just felt like he was taking what the pitcher was giving him, and he hit three singles. And look, if he just is just going to get on base with the way Hines is hitting right now, that can be great for Mississippi State. Those two guys, if they heat up at the same time, then you're cooking now at that point with the way State can pitch. The State pitching turnaround is something that they should do a 30-for-30 on. I mean, they've shaved 3 earned runs a game off of what they did last year. I think during the offseason we talked about they were at 7, and we were like, gosh, if they could just be at 5.5, they would win some more games. They're at
4.
And you tweeted last night about Davis and Harden. Their ERA is down a combined 9 runs from last year. It was almost 11 a year ago combined. This year it's not even 2 combined. So that's
and the crazy thing is, I mean, the innings right now are comparable. Like,
they're the same,
I think they've thrown, 8 more innings?
Yeah.
So it's not like they only threw 10 innings last year, whatever. No, they threw 42 and a third innings and gave up 71 hits and 51 runs. And now they've thrown 49 and a third this year. They've given up 39 hits and 10 earned runs. They've knocked down their earned runs by 41 runs.
And they
pitched 7 more innings. They've pitched almost a complete game more than they did last year. It is the most remarkable thing I've ever seen with two pitchers in the same season at Mississippi State. We've seen, I mean, it's comparable to me to Chad Girardeau and guys like that. That's just a fact. When you look at the numbers, to knock it down by 9 runs in 1 year, they have 4 saves this year. They've factored into 7 decisions with 0 losses. It's been unbelievable. I give a lot of credit to Parker because we've talked to Tyler Davis. We've talked to Tyson Harden. We've talked to Chris Simonis. All three of them have said Justin Parker was a big reason why they've made this kind of jump. Parker worked a lot on Harden with his mechanics. And with Davis, it was never about the pitches. It was never about what he was able to throw. The fastball, slider, changeup, whatever. It was never that. It was always confidence with him. And Parker has instilled confidence in him. When you see him come on the mound, he's got that look in his eye. He's got that swagger about him that you need in the back end of the bullpen that I'm not going to be beat. I'm going to win this battle. And then Tyson Harden, the ability to pitch with sink, which is what we talked about last year. I was begging Mississippi State to please just have one or two guys that could throw something in there that sunk, that somebody is just going to pound into the ground and force ground balls. Because everybody was throwing things flat. Every fastball was flat, and teams were absolutely obliterating it if they weren't able to put it in the strike zone. Harden has brought that to Mississippi State, just choppers, grounders, pop-ups. Nobody's able to square him up. So you got two guys in the back end right now that are pitching really well, and I mean really pitching. That's what Mississippi State has missed, and they got that with Justin Parker at the helm.
They have, and they that's the reason this team has turned around and is in the position that they are in right now. Big series this weekend. Here in Starkville, expect big crowds. Got to think this is going to be a weekend for big crowds the way this team has played in recent weeks. So we shall see. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're going to be cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill, on the smoker, on the flat top. One of our listeners tweeted us the other day, had a big the flat top grill or the flat top going with
Blackstone.
The Blackstone. That's the word I was looking for. And man, it looked great.
Dad loves that thing, man.
You know what that is, though? That is women's way of trapping us into cooking breakfast.
Yes.
Which we would gladly do. Yeah, but we used to not do it. We used to not be the breakfast guy. You know, mom always cooked breakfast. Now you put that thing outside. Oh, why don't you cook on the Blackstone? Oh, okay. Yeah, great. And now we're cooking breakfast too.
I love the trend now, like just random like white dads doing hibachi now on the Blackstones.
Yeah.
You just pull up like I'm doing some hibachi.
Yeah.
Puts the egg on there, starts twirling it around, flipping it up, and
I like the guy who's the Cajun guy. Have you seen him? He's like, we're gonna cook a alligator pasta. It's all a stick of butter. And just throws that stick of butter right there on the grill. Like,
just right, slams it down.
Slams it down. Like, why we got to be so harsh on the butter? You can cook beef like that, too. Beef on a Blackstone is fine. You get the great crust, man. It's good stuff. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, obviously with the Starkville Derby going on right there at Two Brothers, somebody tweeted at or texted us on the Sports Talk Mississippi. They got Primo rooftop seating there. But then after the Derby is over, you need to duck in and grab some dinner, grab some lunch before you head over to Duty Noble, or after the game, you can do the same. Great.
Do you think we can find a way to work ourselves into the Primo rooftop seating?
I don't know. I mean, we have VIP passes as it is. So, I mean, we should be okay. We should have good seats as it is, right?
I don't know. I don't know what this setup's going to be.
I don't either. But I'm excited to find out. I'm always excited to go eat at Two Brothers, though. So, anytime you want to do that, Robbie, you just have to let me know.
Yes.
Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. If you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems, a new copier, a new printer, computers, laptops, whatever it is. And then if you need service, And then you're just calling back the same number that you called to make the sale. And you're talking to the same people. And it's not a 1-800 number, and you're not on hold for 45 minutes, and you're not making an appointment with somebody out of state that's going to take a week to 10 days. You can't wait that long. You need your stuff up and running that day. Advantage Business Systems can do that for you. So give them a call, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. This weekend, if you're going to be in Starkville, please make sure you've got a trip to Maroon & Co. up and on your preparation list, on your agenda, as it were, because you need to get new gear. And why not do it here in Starkville area business? A selection of shirts, polos, T-shirts, pullovers, caps. You can't find anywhere else. It's unique stuff. It's great stuff. Check it out at Maroon & Co. this weekend. Before you go to Duty Noble Field, make sure that you go to Maroon & Co. All right, little different ending to the show here. Earlier today on Thursday, when I found out that Mississippi State University had won the national championship in debate, I was like, well, if you win a national championship, you got to be on the podcast. So I reached out to the Hale State debate team, and they brought in a couple of representatives, and we talked to them, and I debated them. So how did that turn out? Let's find out now. We'll go to my interview with Brett Harvey and the Hale State debate team. We don't have a lot of hard and fast rules on Thunder and Lightning. I say it all the time, but one of them is if you win a national championship, you get to be on the podcast. I'm joined here today by members of the Hale State debate team, national champions. Brett Harvey, the director of federal regulatory compliance at Mississippi State. He is also the head coach of the MSU debate team. Did you get a ring? Did they give you a ring?
We don't have rings. Well, I've been thinking about that. That might be the next thing we do.
We can get Brandon Walker from Barstool Sports. He's a ring funder. We'll get him to do that.
Okay, there you
Devin go. Hutchins, junior, double major in philosophy and economics.
Yes, sir.
Hannah Daniels, junior, business economics and Spanish.
Yes, sir.
We are going to debate today, and if you just want to guess how this is going to go, based off of their majors and what you know of me, this should be a very fun show. But let's get into winning a national championship. And Devin, we'll just start with you. Talk about question, Brian. Tell us about the tournament. How does a debate national championship tournament come about, and how is it seeded? How do you get into the tournament, so on and so forth?
Yeah, well, the way that we run it is we have an open tournament, which I think makes it a lot harder. You don't have to get up there and go up against all these like a small amount of teams that made the seeding, like you talked about, like it were maybe a baseball national mm-hmm. championship. You have every single school in the nation that can make it down to Starkville, which is where we hosted it last year, coming down and competing against us, which makes it basically like the March Madness of debate. And so it takes a lot of hard work to get that championship, and I think that makes me really proud as a member of the team, because it was like, going farther than any other team in that really, really insane bracket and beating out, 50 schools that showed up?
Yeah, so IPDA debate has about 200 active schools, and to be honest with you, they're probably the 50 that show up for tournaments like this are the ones that think that they have the real capacity to try to be competitive for it. And so that's what we had. There are a lot of very fine programs out there that might not have made the drive down from, say, Michigan or I'm from California. The way the tournament works is it's kind of like a track meet. Everybody competes individually, but we add it all together to see which team is the overall winner. So when you get there into the elimination rounds, after you've sort of made the cut, kind of like in golf, you have preliminary debate rounds. You have, at this tournament, there were 8 of them, so a lot. And then the teams with the individuals with the best record will move on, and that's like a single elimination tournament. And so basically what we have is when we get down to the last day, we're counting up the numbers of how many people do these other top programs still have debating, how many people do we still have debating, how many more rounds do we need to win mathematically to win the championship. And so
yeah, sort of like match play for golf.
Yeah,
okay, I see what you're saying,
right?
There.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I understand that. Hannah, who are the good debate programs in the country other than Mississippi State? And if you ask me who are the best football programs, I'd be like Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. Who are the debate powerhouses?
So a lot of them are actually pretty small schools. So we're thinking like Union University, which is a small private Christian university in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then Abilene Christian University in Texas.
Arkansas is pretty good.
Really?
Arkansas? Yeah, Arkansas, the Hogs, they've come on in the last few years. They're good. Tennessee is coming back a little bit, and Alabama has always been very good at forensics overall.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this year a lot of the schools, Dallas Baptist, Abilene Christian, you know, obviously we're a fairly big school. You know, Notre Dame comes to some of our tournaments, and they're pretty good as well. But yeah, some of these smaller schools have been really, really good this year.
I'm Catholic. We love to argue, so that makes a lot of sense. We have to ask. I mean, it's a Mississippi State podcast. Ole Miss. Any good?
No.
Let me scored 0 points this year.
I've got to be diplomatic. So Ole Miss does a different format of debate. It's more sort of like a collegial. They go to a few tournaments a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like a team thing where you have like four people up there. And I think they are very, very fine at that. But they don't compete with us in what I would consider kind of the sort of the Division I of debate.
I liked her answer better.
I'm okay, yeah. No, they're terrible.
Totally honest. What was the final debate? What was the final match that clinched the national championship for you?
Well, so the way that worked was we kind of had to do the math, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because had one of our debaters in the final round, Anamika Kaji, and she unfortunately lost that round, but she did great. She was debating about whether the Baltimore Bridge disaster was essentially a harbinger for all other cities. And so she had like a real uphill battle because, you know, what happened in that bridge disaster was like a million ton vessel just randomly hit a bridge.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to argue that every city in the country can prepare for that.
Right.
But really the way it kind of ended was us just doing the math,
mm-hmm.
and realizing that we had more people making the semifinals and then one making the finals and things like that. And the celebration was kind of in what we call our prep room, which is kind of our war room where mm-hmm. we get ready for the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, this person's out, we're still in, and I do the math. Like, yeah, that's it, we won. So, you know, it was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. So do you tank the last debate at that point? You
no.
just go in there and
it's
like,
no,
you just suck. And that's why this is wrong. The skills of debate. You know, obviously, you're both economics majors, so I get where debate would be very helpful in that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you go on to be a lawyer or something like that. Mm-hmm. What skills has this taught you that you can take into the workforce?
Do you want to start, or should I?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
I mean, I know for me, like, being able to be on a podcast and not, you know, I mean, you do this for a living,
right?
And so you know, when you get on here, you can say basically whatever you want because
mm-hmm.
you, in your mind, you've created a regimen of things that you want to talk about and things that you're comfortable talking about. And that's kind of what debate has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's given me a lot of extemporaneous speaking ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to get on this podcast or, I don't know, talk in class or any other setting where I would need to use my voice, obviously that's going to help. And then, of course, the research skills, broadly speaking, you know, the way that we do debate, you have about at least 6 rounds. Right, where you go in and you research like a different topic each time,
mm-hmm.
and so that you're going to get a lot of broad knowledge just from each and every tournament. You know, I mean, there's a ton of things to learn. I'm sure Hannah's got some of her own unique stuff. So.
I definitely agree with both of those. So definitely like research skills and general like public speaking knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's taught me a lot about argumentation and rhetoric. Like when it comes to using those skills in classes, I kind of know. You know, what are some logical pitfalls that I can fall into? It helps me understand when people are trying to make points better because I've done this, you know, again, at least 6 rounds, usually more at multiple tournaments a year. So for me, it helps in a lot of ways, but especially with like general argumentation, extemporaneous speaking, and research.
Mm-hmm. Practically, what does debate bring? Like when you're just in a social setting, are you winning all your arguments with your friends at this point or you know, is it something that makes life easier for you, I guess what I would say?
Get into a lot more arguments.
Really?
So probably not easier.
Really? That's interesting.
I think I actually get into less arguments.
Really?
I think I understand when an argument is worth it and when it's not a little bit more post-debating. And it helps me also better understand people when they're trying to make arguments because a lot of times arguments come down to like these broad misunderstandings of what the other person's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to like listen to someone in a debate round and try to figure out what they're trying to say, even if it's like a little convoluted, translates really, really well to social situations where you see people trying to make their point and really wanting to be understood, and you are able to understand them a little bit better because you've had practice at it.
What do you want to do when you get out of college?
I'm going to go to law school. That's the plan.
Same here.
Same here.
To be fair, we've got, you know, if we've got any, like, prospective interested students, we have people across all different majors. We have a ton of STEM folks, engineers, future, you know, economists, future teachers. Mm-hmm. So there's people across every possible major. Half of our team is STEM majors, so it's not all just future lawyers.
Right. Are the topics in the competitions, are they all pretty serious, or do you ever get a fun? That's what I was going to ask. Like, do you ever get like, hey, what's the best kind of barbecue, or something like that?
It would be phrased as like an affirmative statement, like resolved. Memphis barbecue is better than St. You know, than like Carolina barbecue.
Okay,
but yes, absolutely. We get sports, we get pop culture, we get you know, asked about everything from Star Wars to the MCU, all the way, and then of course we also will get, you know, climate change and Biden's presidency, mm-hmm. and you name it. Okay. Stuff. So,
a prospective student is interested in joining this club, what do they need to do?
So, every year we kind of do a recruiting drive at the very beginning of the fall, and we're always recruiting, but they will see us around campus. You know, physically, they'll see us on social media. Really, the key thing to do is reach out to one of our team members and then just come to a practice. I expect in the last few years we've had a lot of demand, you know, because we've gotten better, and I imagine this fall we probably will. So there's an initial process where we have what we kind of call a boot camp, and we have, I don't want to call it tryouts, but kind of we want to see you debate, like just against another total newcomer. And that's another thing to mention is like we do not, you know, we have some people who were really good in high school, like these two who came in and do really well. We also have people who have never seen a debate in high school before come in and learn it our way and kind of learn to do it our way and be extremely successful that way too.
So. All right. Very interesting. NIL opportunities for either one of these?
We would love, if anybody out there is interested in NIL opportunities for the debate team.
I'm going to get Charlie Winfield in touch with you, and we'll see if we can make that happen.
Charlie's a good friend. Please, I
love that guy. All right. Now, here's the real crux of the matter here is I have brought these two national championship debaters here into the studio to debate me on a topic that we have no knowledge of. I was told that normally the normal procedure is you get a 30-minute research period, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they tell you what your topic is. You have 30 minutes. What do you do in that time? Wikipedia? What are we doing there?
You try to skim through as much as you can. I mean, obviously, with as good of, like, you try to be really good faith about it. Like, take as much information as you can. You're not going to make stuff up, obviously.
Right.
You get 30 minutes to basically skim.
I'll be honest.
we don't.
Yeah.
I'm not
gonna say you'd be good on some other teams.
Yeah.
But
not naming any names.
Yeah, right. But, like, you know, you basically just, like, pull up Newsweek and try to skim through the article, see what it says, and things like that. And then it honestly, for most tournaments, is not even 30 minutes. You got to go and walk, you know, halfway across campus, God knows wherever you are. If you're doing a physical tournament, you only get about 20 minutes to actually sit down and research.
Okay. So, go ahead.
For a good prep period, also, you try to look at the arguments the other side might bring up. So you're only going to spend maybe 10, 15 minutes, like, writing out your own case and researching, and then a little bit of time kind of finalizing that, figuring out how you want to say what you want to say, and what the other side might say, and how you kind of come back from that.
Okay. So my entire preparation for this is, you know, 30 years ago in college, I took an intro to logic class. That's all I've got. Here we go. Let's find out. Brett, you've got the topic.
I've got the topic. So, Brian, I'm going to give you the topic. I'm going to let, because these guys are trained killers, I'm going to let you pick the sign.
Okay.
The resolution is, and you tell me pro or con, resolution is NIL is good for college athletics.
I'll take pro.
Okay, you're pro.
Yeah.
Take, you know, whatever time you think is appropriate and give us the pro argument on that.
Well, to me, you know, I'm a capitalist. I'm a man of America, and I believe that everybody should be allowed to profit off of themselves. The idea that you would think otherwise to me is erroneous. If you are a person, you are allowed to use your name, your image, your likeness, any way you see fit within the laws of this country to profit from. If somebody wants to put my face on a billboard, I'm going to get money from that. If somebody wants to use me as a sponsor or as an endorser, I'm going to make money off of that. Why should a college athlete be different? Even a college student can do that. If you're just a regular college student and McDonald's says, hey, we just like the way you look, we want to make a sponsor out of you, you can do that. But for years, a college athlete was denied that. And that's not fair, in my opinion. That's not equitable. So has it turned into something that it probably shouldn't have?
Has it become something more than what it was originally designed to be? It absolutely has, because there's bad actors in college athletics, and there's just no getting around that fact. But the core principle of a person should be allowed to profit from their own name, image, and likeness, to me, is something that cannot be denied.
Okay, that was fantastic. So we're going to recruit you. Yes. Because the way it works is, on our side, you do get to huddle with your coach very briefly.
Very quickly,
so give us
then.
2 seconds. We'll just
yeah. I think he just called me fat. What's going on here? All right. I'd like to point out that it's 2-on-1 here, too.
Okay, so we're good. We're ready to go. All right, so who wants to go first? Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Go ahead, Devin.
The reason that I think that both of us are going to negate this resolution is because we like college football and we like Mississippi State University. So we don't want universities to be basically monopolizing the process and attracting too many athletes to their size or to their sides and maintaining their status as teams. We agree to the fact that people ought to be able to make money off of their name and work and likeness and things like that, but they ought to be doing that through direct compensation of their universities themselves. We want these athletes to be paid because we think that they are hardworking individuals, and we think that they've been denied by institutions in the past. We think that NIL in and of itself gives too much leeway to certain athletes and certain programs and denies programs like Mississippi State University or other Cinderella stories out there to have their, you know, time under the sun.
And I think it's interesting that you bring up the point of equity, because we see that in the current NIL system, it very, very heavily favors specific sports and specifically like sports by men. So again, if we want to look at a general, more equitable system for everyone overall, I think there are better ways to do that than the NIL system. And again, we have to look at what's best for college football. So we can talk about whether or not NIL is like in principle good or bad, but what's the effect that it actually has on, for example, college football? Again, we see that it might actually dampen things like competition. It might mean that schools like Mississippi State are never even given the ability to be competitive on a more national scale. And I think that that dampens equity overall.
Okay. And I'm allowed a rebuttal.
You are a rebuttal.
Okay. I will say that I agree with your overarching point of compensation for athletes should come from the university and should be provided through the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being generated by ad revenue and TV deals. I have no issue with that. Your statement about competition, however, 2 seasons ago, Mississippi State finished 9-4 and was ranked in the top 20 nationally. Mississippi State has done well in the transfer portal era, in the NIL era. 2 NCAA tournament appearances have occurred to that. Now, baseball's taken a little bit of a step back, but I don't think that's related to NIL. Mississippi State is in a fine position NIL-wise as far as the ability to compensate these athletes. And when people talk about, well, all of the good schools are going to monopolize all of the athletes, I just point out, so nothing changed. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, USC have always monopolized the better athletes. They did it when recruiting was under the table. They do it now in the NIL era. That's never going to change. Mississippi State has to win games differently in the football, you know, in football. Now, in basketball and baseball, they can win with talent. In football, they have to do things a little bit differently. And I think, by and large, in the NIL era, they've done okay. And I would also point to Ole Miss, who is not a traditional college football power, no matter how much they want to tell you they are. They've been incredible in the transfer portal era, in the NIL era, because they've embraced it, and they've done everything they can to put a competent and well-run and organized collective together, and now they are on the verge of being a college football playoff team this year. So I think NIL gives opportunities to schools like Ole Miss and Missouri, who will be a playoff contender this year, to step up and become an elite program. Maybe not for a decade, maybe not be a Georgia or Ohio State kind of program, but year to year there's going to be programs that, because of NIL, are able to compete at a higher level.
Quick final word from the negative.
Sure, I'll start. I mean, you assert basically that nothing has changed, and I would say that most certainly it has changed. I mean, nothing has changed in the sense that big teams are going out there and bribing athletes to come to their side through any number of whatever, you know, means, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, now it's actually above the table. Mm-hmm. You know, Tennessee isn't going out handing out McDonald's bags full of, like, wads of cash.
We know of.
Right, right,
they
right.
They probably still are.
Yeah, just because they're Tennessee.
Right.
But now they can offer $1 million NIL deals through businesses that affiliate with Tennessee mm-hmm. to athletes that come over there. So, you know, obviously nothing has changed in terms of, you know, big teams trying to go out there and monopolize talent, but the scale has changed. And I think that's a humongous deal for, you know, colleges like Mississippi State University that are trying to compete against colleges like Alabama, who've basically already monopolized the football market and can use their tie-ins to the market to bring in even more athletes. So I think the scale has changed, and that might be a huge argument to make on our side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an overall kind of this growing effect over time, where you see that these big schools that were already good at football, like Devin mentioned Alabama, mm-hmm. They're going to have a bunch of people that want to sponsor their players and sponsor their team. And we don't see that happen for other schools. So yes, other schools can do well, but it just gives an inherent advantage to schools that already have that big football team, and it removes kind of the sense of competitiveness on a more broad scale, and I think that's going to get even worse over time as we see NIL play out in the future.
All right.
So do you guys want to know the result?
Yeah.
Okay, I, as a qualified judge of debate, I think what happened in this round was we had a little bit of a home field advantage with somebody who does this professionally, right? And I think what Brian did in this round is he successfully defanged what I thought was going to be your strongest argument, which was the idea of a counter plan. In other words, the idea of let's have the schools pay them directly. Mm-hmm. I thought you could have pushed that a little bit harder and said, no, we're not going to live in a world where both of these happen. You're going to have to pick one or the other. And in a world where schools pay directly, right, you can have things like, for example, Title IX and things like that. You can ensure equity. But we really didn't hear that. But that's okay. You had no prep time. No problem at all. So I would actually, have to give the round on a close ballot to Brian on this one.
Yeah. Good job. So am I now the debate national champion? Yeah, have I gone to number one?
Yeah, we'll bring the trophy over.
Yes. So.
That'll work. This was a lot of fun. Really appreciate you guys coming in. Congratulations on the national championship. It's awesome. Always like to see Mississippi State students in successful, being successful in anything that they do. So really great. Devin, Hannah, Brett. Appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's right, Robbie. You are now talking to a championship-level debater.
A master.
A master
such.
Debater, you could say. Yes.
Yes. You know, I'm a little upset that you didn't invite me to be on your team, but it seems like you were able to handle it yourself.
Well, I think if you had been here, you would have been like, I have to be on the opposite side of whatever Haydad says. And it might have gotten contentious. Then it would have turned into like a WWE-style debate.
The thing about me is I show no discrimination in any form or fashion.
You hate everyone equally.
Well, if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yes.
You might be right, and you might be on my team. I'm not going to be – I'm not, you know, the guy that's going to be Captain Contrarian. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go that way. I will – if you say something that I agree with, then I'm on your team. So you and I don't disagree on everything. No, not really. I mean, honestly, most of the time we agree, I would say. But there are times where we get a little bit heated on some of our discussions, I would say.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, I'm a very hot-tempered young man.
We will set something up, I think, maybe in the fall with Hail State debate, with me and you versus Hail State debate for something. We'll do that.
I just don't want business ethics.
So I know you haven't heard the interview yet, but they debate all sorts of topics. Like I asked them, I was like, is it all like big policy stuff? And they were like, no, we talk about sports, movies, all sorts of things. So
love it.
Cool. Very cool. Thanks to those guys for coming in. I thought that was a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed it. All right, this weekend, big weekend for baseball. The Starkville Derby is this weekend. Hope to see you out in the city of Starkville enjoying yourself. And Robbie and I'll be back on Sunday to recap everything that's happened. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning. Super Talk, Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.